Welcome to the American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is the top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. All gangs back here today. I'm with Tim, Craig and Joe. And today we'll be covering the start of free agency. Most exciting time of the off-season, really, where teams can kind of get that final piece or lose half their O-line. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm better now. I was sweating like a chicken on Monday when it looked like we'd release some players. We've got part of an O-line now, whereas Monday, when I went to bed, we had one player on the O-line, which is going to be interesting. So that's how being a Raider fan is. Start free agency, we haven't got anybody hardly, and it was an absolute roller coaster. So I'm actually better now, calmer now. Blood pressure gone down.
Craig, first time you've been on the pod since the break. How you doing?
Yeah, fine. Feeling a bit more refreshed after the break. Free agency's got me a bit. It's been a bit up and down being a Ravens fan at the moment. But yeah, it's been interesting free agency. A lot of moves going on.
He's still chasing that elusive receiver.
Yeah, and there's a lot of offensive line and sort of moves going on at the moment as well. I suppose we'll get into all that a little bit later. But yeah. It's an interesting one. I'm curious where they're going with it.
And Joe, I mean, the Patriots, where to begin? Off the bat, you've got like 10 free agents already.
Yeah, you know, it's nice for a franchise that's suffered so much in recent times. You know, it's nice to finally get a bit of the rub of the green and look like the organisation's going in the right direction. So yeah, happy days over here, mate.
Yeah, you've got some great weapons there for Tom Brady now.
That's the last piece. It's the last piece is coming, hopefully.
So yeah, we've got a big list of, as of recording, the top end kind of free agents that have been signed. I'm just going to go through what they mean for the season, for the team, for the divisions that they're in. First one I've got here is Leonard Williams re-signed with the New York Giants on a very large 3-year, $63 million deal. So that shores up their defensive line. He's a bit of a wrecker.
Yeah, it's important for them. It's you know, when you think of the Giants, for me, he's the first bloke I think of, right, and the current players, obviously. But yeah, it's massive for them. It's good to see it happening. The NFC East, even though it was poor last year, does appear to be getting slightly stronger, especially with Washington at the moment. So, you know, you need to keep things up, and the Giants have definitely gone a long way to doing that.
Yeah, they're getting rumoured Kenny Golladay, and I'm really not liking the prospect of... And saying the Washington have got Curtis Samuel, we'll get into that in a second, but Washington, like you said, starting to look like at least the most improved team. I'm not sure they're still the best yet, but looking a bit worrying. Biggest news, quarterback-wise, I mean, there's actually been a fair amount of moving about. Suffice to say, the biggest was Andy Dalton moving from Cowboys, signed a 1-year, $10 million deal with the Chicago Bears. So this kills Russ to the Bears, which is a very upsetting for most fans, I imagine.
It was never going to happen, was it? We were talking about it last week, saying, "Oh, is it going to happen?" But nah, it almost just thinks, yeah, good wishing Bears fans, but unfortunately, it's not going to be quite that. Andy Dalton ain't bad though. It's not awful. He goes in and, in my opinion, is their best quarterback they've had in the last 3-4 years. So you can't moan too much.
Bar's pretty low, though, for Bears quarterbacks, isn't it?
That's true.
Like, that's not what you want your GM to do, though. Like you said, if you're bringing Andy Dalton in and he's automatically in your top 5 quarterbacks of franchise history... It's like, sure, I get that you didn't get Russ Wilson, and I heard they were really giving up like everything. It would have been like 3 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders, like a huge haul, and the Seahawks just weren't prepared to move. But you just settle for Andy Dalton.
Some ways I feel a bit sorry for Mitchell Trubisky, because it's not his fault that the Bears traded up to get him and the other quarterbacks were available in that draft. So the fans have always been against him because they did that. They took so much money on that. And I think, I should probably check this before I start talking, it's the same draft that Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson went in.
Yeah.
And Trubisky went before both of them. So, you know, you've got to feel a little bit sorry for him. He's done what he can. It's not his fault that he was drafted before them.
I mean, yeah, I don't think I have nothing against Trubisky right now. Like, he is a victim of circumstance, but he's certainly not helped himself. He's very recently been signed as well, just off the press there. Mitch Trubisky signed to the Bills, so the Nickelodeon's Valuable Player of the Year is now going to be sat behind slash competing against Josh Allen. Interesting.
That's an odd, because haven't they got Jake Fromm?
I think Fromm was one of those guys that sort of, because he was on that TV show, weren't he? And stuff, and he had quite a lot of hype and stuff coming around him, and he's someone who's, as he's come through, has just not really lived up to the hype, I guess, lived up to the potential that people thought he was going to.
Is there someone that you particularly want in free agency, Craig? Because the Ravens are, whilst you're a contender, you still got a couple of holes.
Right, I was thinking about this today, right, and in all honesty, I think this year is our window is closing quite a lot, because with the Lamar deal coming up, I think now is the time. If we were going to make a big Super Bowl push, particularly last season, we should have done it. With Lamar being on so little money, we could have really sort of spread it out and brought in as much as we could to help him and made that push. I think with his deal coming up and the amount of money he's gonna take, because I know it's going to be a huge deal, it's going to hinder us a lot, and I think that window will kind of close a bit. But at the minute, it's a receiver. Like, there've been so many good wide receivers that have been out there that we could have signed on a one-year deal, veteran guys, and they've just not pulled the trigger on anyone.
I had an interesting thought, Craig. How would you think about Juju coming from the Steelers to the Ravens?
I mean, personally, I'm not a fan. I think he's more of a distraction, and it's not worth the headache. He's a talented guy, like, don't get me wrong. But I think because of his personality and stuff, I don't think Roman doesn't throw the ball enough for someone like that. So if even someone like Dez Bryant after a season is going, oh, look, wasn't a fit for me, can you imagine what someone like Juju's going to be like when he's not getting all, like, Brown? There's frustrations. Can you imagine what he's going to be like? He's going to be all over TikTok dancing about it. Like,
it's true. Yeah.
I think Juju needs a hardline coach just to say you're in this position because you managed to talk yourself out of the Steelers. You had a perfect opportunity there, so you need to just buckle down, forget about the TikTok, and just put some work in and prove. So he might even have a 1 year prove it deal. The wide receiver market in this free agency has been really weird because Galladay's still out there. I don't believe the Giants stuff, though, because the Giants have got hardly any cap money left. So if you look at what, I think Curtis Samuel's probably the only one that's really signed quite a high contract, and he was 3 years for $35 million. The Giants have only got $5 million worth of cap room, so it's going to be tough for them to sign him. So I don't understand why Galladay hasn't gone yet.
Hopefully we pick
up. Well, I've been here. When we released Alshon Jeffrey, a lot of people instantly pegged that over to the Ravens because it's kind of the experienced, aged, veteran receiver who can be on a run first team. Because, yeah, like Craig said, it's not an attractive destination for a top-end receiver because they're not going to go, oh, I'm going to get huge stats in and kind of pump up my value because you're in a run first team.
Well, that's partly on Roman, and I think if Roman doesn't try and change the way he's scheming and stuff at the minute, then I think he needs to go. But I don't know. I'm looking at a lot of forums and stuff, and a lot of the groups and stuff. I mean, a lot of Ravens fans are having complete meltdowns. I wouldn't have complete from the guys that we've lost. Some of them I'm sad to see go, but it was always on the books, I think, for a lot of them to go. Like, Ngakoue was, there was always a pretty good chance he was going to go. Judon, it was well known that he was wanting that big payday that we just couldn't give him. We've got Bowser, who I think he could step up into that role. Bowser's the more versatile linebacker, I think. Judon's quite, he's mainly sort of pass rush focused, and he's better in that sort of, that's what he does, that's his lane. Jihad Ward, well, he's been all sort of on the coast the last couple of seasons. So, yeah, I think they need to sort of just chill out a little bit. Like, I wouldn't panic too much. I trust a lot of the guys in the back office on that team, but I think we do need a wide receiver, and it would be nice to pull one in like that veteran guy that we like I said with Dez, and we did it with Steve Smith and people like that. Like,
Joe and Tim, are you guys happy about the receivers your teams have signed respectively?
Yeah, I am. We got John Brown, another fast guy who had a great season before last. His productivity just went down a bit last season because obviously the Bills signed Stephon Diggs, so very happy with that one, because basically Nelson Aguilar's gone, and I wish him no ill will. He had a fantastic season with us. It was a one-year prove-it deal. Patriots paid him a hell of a lot of money. We weren't going to pay him that much. It worked out well for all sides.
Yeah, he's a good receiver.
5.5 mil.
Mm-hmm.
That first season with the Bills, he was one of my favourite receivers to watch that year. Like, he was very, very good. I think it was just a shame that bringing Diggs in is sort of, I think it brought his numbers down quite a lot. So I think he could do well with you.
Yeah.
Speaking of Aguilar, Joe.
Yeah, to be honest with you, mate, I'm chuffed. It's weird. I wouldn't have said that like a year or so ago. But I thought he, even though he wasn't amazing at the Raiders, he improved on what he was at the Eagles. So if he can just keep that progression going year by year, then it's no worry. We were desperate for weapons. I've been banging on about it for the last 6 months. So the fact that we've gone out, and especially when you look at the wide receivers there, Aguilar, yeah, decent. I think we may have potentially overpaid a little bit for what we've got there. We got a lot of cap space. There is a bit of room to sort of play around with. And then we got matey from the 49ers. His name is gone away from me. But yeah, two decent players that we've brought in there. As you say, we've got no wide receivers. We don't know what's gone from Julian Edelman sort of forefront at the moment. No one's really heard if he's coming back to play this year. So it was quite important that we got that done, especially with, you know, Harry being rubbish and Jacoby Myers being our sort of only real wide receiver threat with Damien Bird. So yeah, for me it's perfect on the wide receiver front. Just I would like that one more potential big name to come in.
Yeah, you can't have Aguilar as your receiver.
No. This is all hypothetical in the fact that we're going to bring someone else big name in. But yeah,
that's the thing. He wasn't our number one wide receiver last year. Our number one wide receiver was actually a tight end, was Darren Waller. So he was actually playing as a number two receiver rather than a number one receiver, which is a great thing to have. But I worry for him that he's a downfield receiver, and Carr was throwing it a lot further downfield than he had been in many a year. I don't think Cam's got the arm to do that with him.
No. And sorry, on that note, Kendrick Bourne, that's who we got as well. So it's exciting, but it's right, depends on the quarterback now, which is going to be very interesting. I think with some of the other signings that we've made, it's quite clear to me what sort of route we're going down.
I mean, yeah, we'll bring up the two biggest signings the Patriots did. Both, I'd say, the top tight ends of the market, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
First, I don't have the Jonnu Smith, but Hunter Henry, 3-year, 37.5 mil.
Yeah.
Jonnu Smith, I think, is now the most high paid tight end, or second.
4 years, 50 mil. So a lot of money going on tight ends, but it's what we've needed. You know, we've been so reliant on tight ends in the past, and for the couple seasons that we just gave up on tight ends, it was so obvious and so clear that we were missing that big part. But these two coming in are just they're probably the best. Like, it's the most excited I've got over tight ends in a long time, and I didn't think that we were going to go out and get two. I thought one, you know, was on the cards, but going out and getting two was massive. And you know, they're big names as well: Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. Like, they're players that are very, very good, and I think in New England it's going to be perfect for them. They're almost very similar as well. Hunter Henry being a bit bigger, but it's going to be exciting to see how they're used. It's people have already, of course, been making, including myself, the comparisons to the whole Gronkowski Hernandez sort of double acts that you can get going there. But it's going to be exciting. But as I mentioned, for me, this screams that it's, given the tight ends there, it gives you a bit more play action. It gives the quarterback a bit more time. and also to like for wide receivers to create separation and that. So I think that this is either set up, and I say it's quite obvious, it's either set up for a young quarterback for the draft, or it's set up for a really crap quarterback, which Cam Newton is. So yeah, it's one of the two now.
Well, it's set up for a quarterback who likes to run it, and you've just re-signed Cam another year as well.
Yeah, yeah, we have done, but I don't think he's going to be this. I don't think he's the. I think he may start week one, but I don't think he will be there at the end. I do believe in the draft we're going to go for it.
I think your starting quarterback week one will be Marcus Mariota.
Who's just recently been released.
You know, if he's... I don't mind Mariota. I honestly would take him over Cam any day. But
he played really well in the one game he started last year.
Yeah, it caused all that talk, wasn't it? One game, just suddenly... That's how, no matter how good Carr can play, if one quarterback comes in and does a decent job, he's going to be questioned all the time.
Craig, the Ravens have got Kevin Zeitler from the Giants, 3 years, 22 mil. That's a pretty nice pickup. He's a pretty good guard.
Yeah, apparently Yonder had a bit of a part to play in that, which was nice to see. O-line, I think the offensive line's been a is an area that they really want to focus on. Obviously, if, you know, Lamar, the way he runs and stuff, you need to your O-line to be on the game, and he's such a big part of that offense and that team. If he goes down, we're in big trouble. So I think they really want to splash out to make sure that he's very well protected. We have just said that Matt Scudder, though, so we are without a centre. So it'll be interesting to see who the Ravens go after to play that position.
Yeah, both the top centres have been taken in the draft and in the free agency already. So that could be a plan, yeah. Speaking of offensive guards, Joe Thuney has taken his product to the Chiefs. 5 year, 80 mil deal. So he goes from the old contender to the new contender. That's a lovely place for him to be working, supporting Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and we talked about, you know, they released their two main guys last week, and they clearly had a sort of plan in there to bring in some younger blokes. So, you know, his first step there is done, and it's a bit of a shame that he's gone to the Chiefs, though. There's a lot of other teams that I would prefer to have gone to.
Just seen the 49ers are hosting Joe Flacco a visit. Right. Other news. Oh, more Patriots news. Here we go. Kyle Van Noy back to the Patriots, as everyone saw coming. And he's just going to want to put some punishment out on the Dolphins next season.
Oh, yeah. And deserved. And that's one major thing for that's come from this is our linebacker core is completely changed now. So we've got Hightower back. We got Kyle Van Noy back. We got Chase Winovich in there as well now. You know, it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and much different to last year. Much, much different. And of course, the new boy.
Also a retiree. Patrick Chung's left your team.
Yeah. Legend. Patriots and Eagles legend, eh, Adam?
Oh, yeah, he did play for us, didn't he?
Yeah, 1 year he played, yeah. But yeah, no, top bloke. Always did the job. Solid safety. Yeah, can't say much more about the guy. He was excellent.
Yeah, it's a cheap deal as well. I'm pretty miffed you managed to get that. Speaking of retirement, Kyle Long, brother to Chris Long, has come out of retirement, moving from the Bears to the Chiefs. 1 year, $5 million deal. So that's a nice, easy move to a team that's got a lot of success right now. Can't really fault him for doing that, moving away from the Bears.
He had a visit with the Raiders yesterday. I'm trying to find the quote now because I was hoping that he would sign, because obviously Howie Long, his dad's a Raiders legend. I was hoping that he'd sign, get the number 75 jersey so I could start wearing my Howie Long jersey again. When he was asked why he didn't sign for the Raiders, he said, things are done better around here for the Chiefs. That's a bit of a kick in the balls, but...
It's kind of true.
You know, yeah.
Let's move on to some of the quarterback news. Ryan Fitzpatrick leaving Miami, signed 1 year, $10 million deal with the Washington football team. Is I mean, it's such a well-known story with Ryan Fitzpatrick being Fitzmagic or Fitztragic, and he's never really seemed to have enough to push a team over the edge to get into playoffs. But can he do it in Washington with such a good defense and what look to be the pieces on offense now?
I like this deal. I think it's a 1 year sort of, it's only a 1 year deal for him, but this could be the break that he really needs to sort of just work his magic. He has done well in Miami. He's one of those players I think it's hard to not like, and it might be to your expense a little bit, Adam, being in your division, but I hope he does well. Like, I really do.
He always batters us. Whenever we play Fitzmagic, he always batters us.
I thought he would get signed by Jacksonville. My thinking was that, like in Miami, they brought him in to tutor a new quarterback. I thought they'd take him down in Jacksonville to tutor Trevor Lawrence. So it's a little bit surprising going to Washington.
Yeah, it's one of the... I just think this massively improves them. It's like, thinking of what they had last year, they had, Dwayne Haskins, who ended up going. They had, obviously, Alex Smith came back. Tyler Heinicke, who was okay. Played well in that playoff game. But, yeah, this is huge for them. He knows he's an old-school QB. He just loves to throw the ball, and he's got a couple of good receivers now to throw the ball to. So I think it really, really does push him right up those power rankings.
Yeah.
Is Ron Rivera rebuilding the Patriots? He's just signed Curtis Samuel 3 years, $34.5 million. It's literally a case of him just going, oh, the players I drafted on that team, I'll just slowly pick them up. Okay. Other quarterback, Jameis Winston, has signed 1 year, $12 million at the Saints, and I believe has been stated as the starter of the Saints. So we should be able to see some LASIK Jameis Winston.
He's the starter, but I swear Taysom Hill just got a massive contract.
No, he had a really weird contract, and it's either like four or six years.
Most, and each year is like, it's voidable, isn't it?
Yeah, every single year is voidable, and they're all worth like, I think it's like $7.5 million. So it's literally like a trick contract for the cap. You can just like cut it when you want. It's so odd. But yeah, essentially both quarterbacks, but I believe Jameis Winston has been named the starter. Tyrod Taylor is going to the Texans, 1 year, $12.5 million, to be behind Deshaun Watson. For a team in turmoil, it's an interesting move because he's a good backup, but he can also start if needs be.
Yeah, he bears a potential chance he could be the starting quarterback though still.
Mm-hmm.
We still need to see what's going to happen there. But yeah, it's a great insurance policy in case Watson does go. On the fairly cheap as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, again, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Watson with these allegations that's been thrown at him recently, because he could end up sitting out a chunk of the season or so on and so forth. Like,
yeah,
I mean, he's also apparently, I've read somewhere he's just not going to play if he's on the Texans. So even if he does stay with the team, we'll see how that works. To replace Ryan Fitzpatrick, Miami have signed Jacoby Brissett for a 1 year deal. He's becoming a bit of a journeyman backup quarterback now. Really starts to limit the number of quarterbacks available now if your team's need someone to start or back up. You are really going through the bottom of the barrel. Trent Williams, offensive tackle for the 49ers, signed a record-breaking deal, 6 years, $138 million. So that shores up their line by a huge margin, and it breaks the record for offensive tackle contracts.
Yeah, just by like 0.1, I think it was. Like, that's next level pettiness, but I like it.
He is the best left tackle in the business, so deserved the money.
Okay. Jamal Williams, moving away from his success with the Packers, moves to Detroit. 2 years, $7.5 million. It's the Lions have made some weird moves this free agency. Everyone I've saw, I'm like, could help, but surely you have more problems.
This one surprised me, because I thought the Packers, I thought it was going to be the other way around. I thought Jones was going to leave and Williams was then going to to sort of step up and become one of their main feature backs. So the fact that they re-signed Jones and let Williams go, I thought was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers are retaining the first strings to their championship run. The Buccaneers, I don't think they've lost anyone. Going into the off-season, there's all who are they keeping out of these three? And they doesn't seem to have struggled too much. They've just re-signed Shaq Barrett for a four-year deal, $72 million. I think they just re-signed their kicker as well for another 3 years.
Re-signed him.
Yeah, Gronk for another one-year deal. He said, I'm not doing any more than a year.
And David as well, didn't he sign a new deal?
Yeah,
Levante David extended for 2 years.
Yeah, I think he's so underrated. Like Levante David, like I was looking at his numbers the other day. If you look at his the last 8 seasons, he's put up numbers equal to what Ray Lewis did in his first 8 seasons in the league. Like it's that kind of level of production from the guy. Yeah. But yeah, all of the headlines seem to just get sort of thrown onto Shaq.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, isn't it? I think when a team is just not making the playoffs regularly, and but you've got players on there that are doing the bits, especially defensive players, they just don't get picked up enough, and it's almost like you need one good playoff run to finally be given like all the plaudits you deserve. It's a bit of a shame, really, because a lot of players go under the radar in their careers, but thankfully he isn't one of those anymore.
Patrick Peterson, long-time Arizona Cardinal. I remember I was a big fan of him on the All or Nothing series. He has signed a one-year deal with Minnesota, so very smart defensive player, could properly manage an entire team. I think that's a really nice pickup for the Vikings.
Doesn't really help JJ and D-Hop's chances, though. Considering that JJ was going there and he was wanting to make a Super Bowl push, they're losing a key player like that.
He's getting a bit older now. He's not the athletic specimen he was. He's very smart and can do zone as well as everyone, but man-to-man, he can't take on the number one receiver and just shut him down anymore. So I think he did need to move away to allow for younger presence to come in the cards. Marvin Jones, wide receiver 2 for the Lions, has signed a 2-year, $14.5 million deal for the Jags. So starting to put some offensive weapons on there for when Trevor Lawrence comes in.
Yeah, I like that. Good move.
John Ross, I think he was the 10th overall pick a couple of years back, the one who's got the 40-yard dash record. He's going to the Giants for a 1-year, $2.5 million prove it contract. So that's one I'm a bit worried about because he's lightning quick.
Doesn't matter though if you can't catch the ball.
True. Speaking of veteran receivers from before, AJ Green, who I know you had your eye on, Craig, he's gone to the Cardinals for 1 year, $8.5 million. So finally taking his business elsewhere from the Bengals since he was drafted.
Yeah, he was one. Like I said, he sort of fit the mold of what Baltimore liked to sign, and that sort of veteran guy, and he knows the division. We go up against them every year. It's a good signing for them. I think he's a nice compliment to Hopkins. You know, you're talking about two of the best receivers in the league now on the same team. If they can, you know, if Green can stay healthy, which has been the main issue of his career, that's a scary offense.
It's a bit aged though with AJ Green and Larry on that. I do love Larry.
Aged aside, mate, like AJ Green is still that level. If he can stay healthy, like I said, between him and Hopkins, it'd pick your poison. Either one of them can run downfield and burn you. They're both big guys that can outjump the majority of the league. Like, you're talking two potential top five receivers in the league.
Yeah, and it'll be nice as well for AJ Green to like almost have the pressure off him as well. Yeah, when he's going over here, he's not the main man anymore, and he's not going to be like demanded to be keeping fit all the time. You know, he can have that pressure off and actually play a lot more sort of with expression and that.
It's a very good team of receivers if you looked at it 5 years ago. AJ Green, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins. Cardinals do lose someone though. Kenyon Drake's gone over to the Raiders, Tim. 2 years, $11 million.
So at the start of this podcast, I was busy looking at his stats. He had a good year last year. Then I looked at the money. considering we've been penny pinching for the last week, releasing players who had big contracts, etc., etc., we're now paying a backup quarterback $11 million over 2 years. He's getting paid more than Josh Jacobs to be a backup. The player himself, great. We need a second running back because we got rid of Devontae Booker. But the amount of money is just stupid. I've always said it. I said it in my rants on Monday when I was losing the will to live. Gruden is just not a good player manager. He's a good offensive coach, but when it comes to personnel decisions, he's just terrible. And this is just another example of it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting signing someone behind for so much behind Josh Jacobs, because he is going to be the next big thing for you guys. Who is the backup? Marlon Mack, after tearing his ACL, I think it was. He's back with the Colts for 1 year, $2 million, a small amount of money, but he's got to be sitting completely behind Jonathan Taylor now. He had a monster end to the season.
Yeah, it's little amounts of money. Running backs, isn't it? They just don't get paid the masses that the others do. But it's good that he's managed to stay in the same place and Indianapolis want him back.
Back to some more tight end news. The market's getting pretty small for them. Kyle Rudolph from the Vikings has signed a 2 year, $16 million contract with the Giants. He'll be opposite Pro Bowler Evan Ingram. But yeah, it's interesting because Rudolph was complaining that he wasn't getting all the attention that he wanted, and he's just gone on a team opposite a tight end who is a pass-catching tight end, who likes to get the ball in his hands, and a team that's actively shopping for a wide receiver, one in Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe they just wanted that second tight end just to help out Daniel Jones in those like little quick passing and the running game and all of that. It's the only thing I can see. It's quite a bit of money. Tim, you mentioned like their cap space isn't massive and they've got other needs. So unless they've got a clear offensive plan that they really want to drill in next year, it doesn't make masses of sense, but you never know. We've got to wait until they get playing.
Yeah, other tight end news is Jared Cook going to the Chargers. 1 year, $6 million from the Saints. The only kind of big tight end on the market is the Eagles are apparently shopping Zach Ertz. I think they're looking for around a third or a fourth round pick. I know the Bills are interested in that. So there could be a lot of shifting of the equilibrium, and because I think a good tight end changes an entire team.
Yeah, it's a good move as well. After they've just lost Henry, go and pick up Jared Cook. He's a bit old now. He's what, early 30s? Mm-hmm. Mid-30s? Something like that. So, yeah, $6 million ain't too bad at all, really. Can get a lot of production out of him.
Craig, you guys picked up a tight end from trade.
Yeah, that's just actually not a bad deal. Our first one I seen that we picked up a tight end, I was like, what, really, another one? But it's a conditional seventh rounder in 2022 if he makes the 53-man roster. If he doesn't, then we don't lose anything. I wasn't familiar with this guy. I had to look him up. Apparently, he was drafted a couple of years ago with quite a lot of hype around him, but he's had a ton of injury problems and has not played very much. So it's he could be the guy we bring in, have a look at him. If we don't want him, we don't lose anything. If we do want to keep him, it's a seventh round pick next year. So yeah, it's a nice deal for us.
Where did he come from?
Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
I saw something with conditional picks. We had Marquise Goodwin for last season, but he opted out. And then he's also left the team. So we kind of had him on the team, but never really did. But we swapped a sixth round pick with the 49ers for him. And he had some wording or something in his contract that allowed him to essentially go back to the 49ers after a year. But no one really understood how it meant, because essentially the Eagles had lost a pick because of it. So I don't know the inner mechanics of it all. I was very confused by the entire thing. But we've wound up with the 49ers' seventh round pick this year. just because Marquise Goodwin has gone back to the 49ers, who they have then released. But yeah, some shenanigans was going amongst the contracts.
Sounds like some dodgy dealing going on.
The Raiders have done another trade as well with the Seahawks, Tim.
That's another one. I think it was over a week ago it was announced that Gabe Jackson had been cut. And then, lo and behold, a bit like Rodney Hudson, last night it comes through he's actually been traded for a fifth-round pick. He's a good player, but if we were cutting him anyway, we got something out of it. Yeah, fair enough.
And this is quite a funny one. Michael Brockers, who is, I'm paraphrasing, but when Stafford and Goff got traded, which was official like as of today, he was like, oh yeah, but I mean, it's a bit of an upgrade getting Stafford over Goff, isn't it? He's just the better quarterback. And subsequently, had Sod's Law, he's been traded back to the Lions where Goff is playing. So that's just a lovely bit of karma there.
Must be kicking himself. He could have ended up with the Ravens last season, and now he's over at the Lions.
Was that the one with like the weird failed physical or something?
Yeah, the deal was nearly finalised, and then it all seemed to fall apart last minute. I think there was a problem with his physical, and I think he was wanting stupid money in the end, which I think we just couldn't meet in the middle with.
Some people overvalue themselves when you're working next to Aaron Donald and getting that kind of production. Shaquille Griffin, good defensive back for the Seahawks. He is being picked up by the Jacksonville Jaguars. 3 years, $44.5 million, so a fair amount of money. And I believe his brother, Shaquem Griffin, is following him as well, back to Florida where they played in college. But that is all the free agency moves we've got, unless anyone's found any extra.
Ravens have re-signed Derek Wolfe, which was nice to see. It's nice to see we're just sort of penning deals for the sort of core group of guys that we do need.
Yeah, your defensive line's been a bit battered, hasn't it?
The team itself's been picked apart a little bit, but it was always going to happen. There was guys who, I think, going into the season, we always knew were going to leave or be taking offers just because we couldn't afford to keep them. But you know, like I was saying earlier, I think our window to win that Super Bowl, we've had that window now of where we could have really capitalised on Lamar's rookie contract, and they've just not done it.
Yeah,
we've made a couple of signings on the defensive line. Obviously, we got Ngakoue. Mm-hmm. We also signed Quinton Jefferson and Solomon Thomas, who's quite an interesting one because he was from the 49ers.
Yeah,
he's number three overall.
Pretty good.
He's not been great in the pros, but he's still young. And I think I was reading something about him. The reason why he's not shown up in the pros is because they kept moving him inside and outside, pass rusher and inside, where he's like always been a good inside defender rather than a rusher. So if we move him back inside where we had problems last year, I think we could get really good, because it's cheap as well, which makes up for some of the stupid deals we've been giving out. So our D-line might be a strength and our O-line might be a weakness, where for years it's been the other way around.
A good interior lineman's a must, because that's what you need to shut down the run. If you haven't got a good interior lineman that can shut down that inside run, then teams are just going to run all over you all day.
Yep.
Look how good Bucks became once Vita Vea came back. And a couple of surprise releases that I found dotted around. The Titans have released Adoree Jackson alongside Malcolm Butler from before. And I mean, Adoree's pretty young. He's very quick. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential in him. I'd hope we pick him up, but I can see him getting picked up by a defensive back needy team. And the Chiefs have also released Damien Williams, which is a bit of a surprise. He opted out last season, but he was pretty essential for their Super Bowl run. And he was a bit blown away by himself as well. So another good running back to hit the market, which is pretty oversaturated as it is anyway.
Another potential could have been Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, you're right.
At the end of that game. Because there was a couple I'm thinking about. I've just looked on the NFL just to check if there's other things. But there was Bud Dupree going to the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a big one. Corey Davis as well going to the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
$37.5 million. So that's good for the Jets. You know, they need wide receivers and they can do with him. But yeah, Bud Dupree is quite a big one. I think the Titans, it's important that they get that defense sorted because it was their real sort of thing that let them down last year.
Yeah, Derek Henry carries that team, as I think we all know.
Interesting news that I've just seen. Ian Rappaport reported about 40 minutes ago that the QBs are hosting Joe Flacco for a visit.
Who?
The 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing in Flacco for a visit. It's an interesting one.
Why? How is that man still going around the market?
Kenny Golladay's also going to visit the Bears after the Giants.
Ooh.
Which is interesting.
So you'd have... Can you imagine that? You'd have Andy Dalton throw into Kenny Golladay and Allen Robinson.
Who is apparently not signed his franchise tag yet. Apparently still a bit miffed that's happened to him.
Oh, no.
I don't blame him, to be honest.
No.
You don't want Andy Dalton throwing to you?
Not necessarily, no. I think he just wants out of Chicago and to go somewhere with a bit of a fresh start. He showed last year just how good of a player he is, considering the QBs that have been thrown to him and the team that he's on. He was still putting up crazy numbers. Like, he's a waste of talent in Chicago at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to blame Dalton because it seems that every team he goes on, it doesn't help him out. I mean, his early Bengals days, he did pretty well, but since then, the Bengals were a bit of a melty team. The Cowboys' offensive line just got buckled last year when he was playing. So it could be he's got a bit more of an opportunity back with a team that has got a decent defense to prop him up.
It's a case of can he do it? Like, the whole time he was at the Bengals, it was a running joke that every single year they qualify for the playoffs and then get knocked out in the first round as a wild card. I don't blame Robinson for wanting to leave, to be honest. I think to put him through enough there, let him go. But I don't blame him for wanting to keep him because he's the best player on that offense.
It's tough, isn't it? Yeah. It's like two sides of the story. Then you understand why they've done it and you understand why the other's annoyed, but then you're just like... I personally wouldn't want to keep someone in my... Even doesn't matter how good they are, I wouldn't want to keep someone that doesn't want to be
there. I completely agree.
Just like, get what you can for them. And, it's silly. You can just cause so many more problems and can make your team so much worse than if you were just to bin them off.
It can really affect the culture of a team, I think, forcing guys to stay there who don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And so which team do you think's done the most so far to improve in free agency? You've got to really put it between Washington and the Patriots.
Yeah, they were the two, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say the Pats.
Yeah, I've got to say it, haven't I?
After your 1 year of struggle.
Yeah, I know.
What did you do to deserve this? Meanwhile, Tim has got two speed receivers.
Two speed receivers, but half an offensive line.
Mate,
you don't need one when they're that fast.
Derek Carr will have to work on even getting an even quicker release.
I've just seen as well, the Raiders signed someone called Derek Carrier, and it's literally as if John Gruden was like, I like Derek Carr, but I want someone a bit more Carrier.
Well, I was just worried he's going to sign another clapped out Jason Witten clone instead of using the players actually on the roster actually good.
Do we have any questions from any listeners this week?
Yeah, we did. We got one just before we started recording from Instagram. Ray Carroll, who is one of our avid listeners, he was just effectively asking, you know, just general about free agency, you know, how long does it last? Let me get the actual question up here. It was, how does free agency work and how long does the window last?
So... the two-day negotiating period starts from Monday the 15th until Wednesday the 17th. And then, so from today, free agency officially starts. So the time period for free agency signings this year is from March the 17th to April the 23rd for restricted free agents. For unrestricted free agents, it is from March 17th to July the 22nd.
Yeah, and so with free agency, it's effectively any player whose contract has not been re-signed on a team has the opportunity to go out and nearly always got an agent, except for a few special exceptions. And their agent will get them onto whichever team's either paying the most money or the player likes the most.
Any players that contracts are open or are coming along them lines, they're available to shop the market. Teams might want to tag them. There's various franchise tags, which we have explained in the past. There's a few different ones. Teams might want to tag them and not risk losing them so that they can't shop free agency. They sort of puts the blockers on that, so it forces them to stay while they figure out a deal before they can go out there and other teams can start putting offers in.
There's also tenders that you can put on certain players, like first round, second round, third round tenders, which effectively mean if you've offered them something, but if a team does sign them with more money, they have to give them a second round or whatever round of the tender was, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So they can pay them what you offer them, but essentially you're buying them for a second round pick or whatever round they say. So I think we did that with our kicker, because there's always stupid tenders, because we give our kicker a second round tender. It's like, who's going to give up a second round pick for a kicker?
Depends who it is.
Yeah, true.
That's free agency.
Breaking news, Will Fuller is signing a 1-year contract with the Dolphins, according to Ian.
Ooh, that's really good, because that means Jamar Chase might last longer. I really want the Bengals to get Kenny Golladay and the Dolphins to get a receiver, because that means Jamar Chase is most likely going to drop. That's really, really good.
So draft orientated now, Adam. Straight. When you have them high picks, that's all you can think about, isn't it? Just.
Yeah, nice fast pick and early bed.
Yeah.
Well, I think the interesting thing with free agency is, regardless of whether, if a player's in a contract year, then they can go out themselves and shop around. But, I mean, even if a player is locked into a contract, if you're after someone, potentially, you could still put an offer in between teams and work out some sort of trade in regards to picks or along those lines. So pretty much anyone in free agency, if you're willing to pay the right price, is fair game, I guess. The players only have so much control of their destiny, don't they, while the contract is enforced.
Yeah, and then there's obviously people who do sit out contracts and pay the fine, and there's always a nice... Actually, I think this is the first year we've not had, actually, Deshaun Watson to a degree, but it feels like every year there is one big holdout that's announced during the off-season.
Oh, yeah.
Could be Allen Robinson if he doesn't sign his franchise tag.
True, one to watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that all our questions for this week?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. You can ask us anything on our social medias. We do want to help out any new listeners, so please direct them our way. You can reach us on any of the social medias, can't they, Joe?
Yep, they can. So if you want to look for us on Twitter and Instagram, we are at TAFS_UK. And on Facebook, we're That American Football Show. We've also got an NFL group on Facebook as well. So if you're a fan, you're a content creator, whatever to do with American football, join it. It's just called NFL Fans. It's run by the Facebook group, so you should be able to see it that way.
And we're also getting all this stuff on our website, which is, Tim,
ThatAmericanFootballShow.com. We've had another couple of good articles, or great articles, actually, from Josh Baroque up there, who's writing for us now. So check them out, they're really good.
And as always, keep an eye out on lockdown lids. They've always got something good going. I know their multi-helmet thing sold out incredibly quick. And as always, if you could leave us any feedback on wherever you're listening, let us know where you are listening in the world, and we can get that marked on our map. Anything else you want to say, boys, before we leave it? Okay, cool. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you head out and check out our friends at EP Sports. for any of your NFL or equipment needs. That's it from us. We'll see you later.
Let's go to Dano, come on, and Foyle.